Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Chan Japa Conference. So today's class will be given by His Grace Adi Gadadhar Das Prabhu on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 24 and verse number 231 onwards. Adi Gadadhar Das Prabhu, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna, Kaumodaki Mataji. My humble obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Mataji, I am here.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. Please take over this call now. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. We will chant Mangala Charan before we begin. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam tahagana ragunathanvitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvise Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radha Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण। माय हार्टफेल्ट ग्रैटिट्यूड टू प्रीति विलासिनी माताजी फॉर गिविंग मी दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी टू अटेम्प्ट टू स्पीक ऑन चैतन्य चरितामृत, एंड माय हार्टफेल्ट ग्रैटिट्यूड आल्सो टू कौमुदकी माताजी फॉर सो काइंडली कोऑर्डिनेटिंग एंड इंट्रोड्यूसिंग दिस कॉल। टुडे वी विल बी रीडिंग फ्यू वर्सेस, आई थिंक 4 वर्सेस फ्रॉम चैतन्य चरितामृत मध्यलीला चैप्टर 24 entitled The Different Explanations of Atmaram Verse. So this is a very very philosophical chapter with lot of grammar, vyakaran, lot of tattva, lot of philosophy. It's a complex chapter, lot of technicalities, very complex chapter. And I think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that this is very technical. And our dear Sanatan Goswami is sitting and listening very attentively. Sanatan Goswami had asked this question to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that previously I have heard you had given many, many explanations of the Atmaram verse to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Jagannath Puri Dham. Can you please give those explanations to me also? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave even more explanations of the Atmaram verse to Sanatan Goswami. And after speaking so much technical, grammatical and philosophical details, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understanding, at least the reader, at least understand, if Sanatan Goswami, not Sanatan Goswami, at least understanding our hearts, that we will be very exhausted, very tired mentally, listening to all these technical details. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Mahavadanyaya, very, very merciful, very munificent, very wonderful. Sorry, I take it back. Most merciful, most munificent, most wonderful, the sweetest Lord, along with Nityananda Prabhu, our beloved Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he starts speaking a very, very instructive story. Just imagine, so much technicality, so much tattva siddhanta, and boom, suddenly very sweet, nice leela, nice story, so we can all just sit back and relax and read. But this story is so amazing, so amazing. So many philosophical truths are explained in this story. And my dear friends, my dear Bhakti Sangha friends, this is a fact that Krishna Leela, it has all the tattva, all the philosophy inside it. There is lot of rasa and there is lot of tattva in Krishna Leela. Therefore, Shri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata yaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti swarjuna. One who understands the transcendental nature of my birth and activities does not, upon leaving the present material body, take birth again in this material world, but attains my supreme abode. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing a very beautiful leela of Narad Muni, very beautiful leela of his devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not narrating his own leela. Just see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking so much pleasure in describing the leela of his own devotee, his own devotee Narad Muni. So Narad Muni has taken darshan of Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, and now he has come on the earth planet because he wants to go to the holy place of Prayag. And he wants to take his holy dip, holy bath at the Triveni Sangam. So it is so interesting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also spoke Rupa and Sanatan Shiksha at Prayag. So very, very holy place. Our Prabhupada also went there during the Kumbh Mela. So Narad Muni also wants to come to Triveni, which is the confluence of Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati. Saraswati Devi, of course, is not manifest now. She has gone underground. But the Triveni Sangam, that's where Narad Muni is coming to take a bath, to show us that no matter how great you are, you may be Narad Muni, you might have just seen Vaikuntha and Vaikunthanath. But still, the activities which are purifying, one must do. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that there are three activities which are very purifying, which nobody should ever give up. And that is yajna, performing yajna, sacrifice, dan, giving charity, and tapa, performing austerities. So this is a type of tapa, traveling to a holy place and taking a bath there, no matter if the water is cold, taking a bath. It's a very nice act of devotion. So these activities of yajna, performing japa yajna, and Gita Krishna says among the yajnas, I am the best is japa yajna. I represent that. Yajnanam japa yajnosmi, Krishna says. So morning our chanting, a minimum, very, very bare minimum, 16 rounds. We should do more than that. Nicely, holding Tulsi Mala, chanting as attentively as possible. I'm telling myself, we must chant very attentively. It is a japa yajna. And also in Kali Yuga, there is Sankirtan yajna. Yajna Sankirtan prayaryantihi sumedhasa. Intelligent people in Kali Yuga will perform Sankirtan yajna. Nama Sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranashanam. This hunter, Mrigari, whose story we are about to hear, very papi person. But Nama Sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranashanam. All sins are destroyed when we do Nam Sankirtan. So glorification by loudly chanting Krishna's names together. That is Nam Sankirtan. There can be Leela Kirtan. There can be Guna Kirtan, Tattva Kirtan. Krishna Tattva, Krishna Leela, and Krishna Nam. But specifically in Kali Yuga, even if you are not able to describe Krishna Leela, everyone cannot give a class on Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Many times we tell devotees, okay, you give the Bhagavad Gita class. Okay, you give the Bhagavatam class, Chaitanya Charitam. No, Prabhuji, no, I cannot, you give, I feel scared. I don't know, I cannot speak. And devotees sometimes feel like that. But Naam Kirtan, everybody can do. Just you are chanting the names of God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it can be call response. And you do it together, congregationally. So even if I don't have a good voice, I don't have a melodious voice, because everybody is singing, I can just join in without feeling ashamed and embarrassed. So Sankirtan is very, very nice. So this yajna should not be given up. Japa yajna and Sankirtan yajna. Nama japa and Nam Sankirtan. This yajna should not be given up. Charity, we must give charity. Charity of our time. Dial in and hear Harikatha, or to go to the temple and hear Harikatha, or time to hear Harikatha at home on ISKCON Desire Tree or YouTube. So like that, we must give donation of our time, our money, wealth. Lakshmi should be donated. Like that, we can donate our house for a program, to host a satsang. For those many hours, 2-3 hours, you are donating your house to the devotees. Come, use it. It is yours. Sing, chant, dance, hear Harikatha. So donation has to be given. Dan should be given. And tapa. One must do tapa, sir. Whether it is fasting or Ekadashi, whether it is following the four regulative principles, no matter how strong the temptations are to enjoy our senses, we do that tapasya of following four regulative principles. Controlling our tongue, not criticizing devotees, even though that tendency is so strong in us. So Narad Muni is telling us how it is important, no matter how advanced we are, to follow the limbs of bhakti. So to set an example, as an acharya who teaches by example, he is coming to Triveni. And as he is coming, let us see what happens. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 24, verse number 231. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is telling us. Vana pathe dekhe mriga ache bhume padi bana vidha bhagna padda kare dadha phadi. Translation and purports by our beloved founder Acharya Om Vishnupad Paramhams Parivrajak Acharya Ashtottar Shata Shri Shrimad Srila Abhay Charana Arvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narad Muni saw that a deer was lying on the path through the forest and that it was pierced by an arrow. It had broken legs and was twisting due to much pain. Verse number 232.
Arakata dure eka dekhe na shukara taiche vidha bhagnapada kare dada phada.
How sad. Translation. Farther ahead, Narad Muni saw a boar pierced by an arrow. Its legs were also broken and it was twisting in pain. Verse number 233.
Aiche eka shashaka dekhe ar kata dure jivera dukha dekhe Narad vyakul antare.
Translation. When Narad Muni went farther, he saw a rabbit that was also suffering. Narad Muni was greatly pained at heart to see living entities suffer so. Verse number 234.
Kata dure dekhe vyadha vrikshe ontahana mrigamari bare ache bana yudhiya.
Translation. When Narad Muni advanced further, he saw a hunter behind a tree. This hunter was holding arrows and he was ready to kill more animals. Vyadha means hunter. So we'll stop here. Verse number 234. Then the description of the hunter is given in the next verse that the next speaker of Chaitanya Charitamrita can pick up from there. So we'll stop here.
Gurave Gaurachandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha.
Hare Krishna. Jai Guru Gauranga. So we read how Narad Muni saw a deer which was pierced by the arrow of a hunter. Not only that hunter had come and dislocated and broken the legs of the deer so that the deer cannot run away. So the deer was lying there in the forest, his limbs mangled, the arrow sticking out of its body, bleeding and suffering greatly in pain, half dead.
Farther ahead, Narad Muni saw a boar, a wild boar. It was also pierced by an arrow and the hunter had come and broken its legs also. So the wild boar could not run away. And it was writhing in pain, suffering there, half dead.
Farther ahead, Narad Muni saw a cute little rabbit. Same painful situation. Arrow stuck in the body. The rabbit had been hit by an arrow and legs were broken. Rabbit couldn't run away and was lying there bleeding, dying. A painful death. Narad Muni was greatly pained to see the sufferings of the deer, the boar, and the rabbit. To investigate, Narad Muni went further ahead to see, and sure enough, he saw the hunter. He was hiding behind a tree, trying to take aim at other targets. We will stop here. Now, my dear friends, in the verses that come up after this, the subsequent verses, Srila Prabhupada writes very, very amazing purports. So don't miss them. All the philosophy
is there in those purports very nicely. Prabhupada explains on the authority of Srila Narad Muni. So don't miss that, okay? It's very, very wonderful purports. So we'll leave that for the next person. So see, this story of Mrigari we all know. It is very beautifully explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We cannot complete the story today. Although it can be told as one class, the entire pastime of Mrigari and Narad Muni, we will not do that because it's a long pastime and we have to read all the Bengali verses, translation. And Prabhupada writes very deep purports, very important purports. Prabhupada actually writes that I have got so many disciples, they are getting married, they are becoming grahasthas. And in the future, when they become old, they must take one prashna and dedicate all their time for Hari Bhajan, for Krishna consciousness. And among them, if a man is really interested in preaching, really wants to completely commit, he should take sannyas. And the wife can live alone and do her bhajan, worship her deity, and be happy in Krishna consciousness. Very deep purports, Prabhupada writes. Very, very instructive. Everything is answered in those purports. They will be coming. So please follow up on the subsequent verses. So we'll stop here. So what we have discussed is how Narad Muni, he could have just seen the half-dead suffering animals and went his way, gone his way. Oh, I just saw Lord Narayan. Oh, my humble prayers for all of you suffering souls. So this is a dukhalayam ashashvatam. Oh, what to do? This world is only like that. Krishna has said, dukhalayam ashashvatam. All the scriptures say that this world is a horrible place. So you are suffering. Anityam asukham lokam. Yes. Okay, just Narayan, Narayan. Radharaman, Radharaman, Krishna, Krishna. He could have chanted and gone ahead. I have to go for an important yatra. I have to go to Triveni Sangam. I have to purify the holy places. Tirtham Kurvanti Tirthani. It is great souls like Narad Muni that make the holy places holy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the ocean of Jagannath Puri has become pure place of pilgrimage because now I have washed Haridas Thakur's holy body in this ocean. Until then, three times a day, he himself would take bath, but he never said this is a holy place. After Haridas Thakur's divine transcendental body, after Haridas Thakur had left this world, when his body was bathed in the ocean, Bay of Bengal at Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu declared this is a holy place. Narad Muni, although such a great devotee, he could have said that, oh, I have to go to Triveni Sangam bath, I have to do my duties. No. He gave his valuable time for the suffering souls. He wanted to investigate, who is this rascal? Who is this horrible, sadistic person who is torturing these poor animals? So he gave his precious time for the suffering souls. This is very instructive, my dear friends. This reminds us of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This reminds us of our Acharya Gan. This reminds us of Srila Prabhupada. This reminds us of our spiritual masters. I had once showed my horoscope to one devotee astrologer. He looked at my horoscope and he said, Adigadadhar Prabhu, look at your horoscope. You have done so much bloodshed. You are so sinful. Your early part of your life was very, very sinful. You have no Sukrati. You don't deserve to be in Krishna consciousness. Because I have a very bad past. Very bad past. I was telling one devotee about what I have done when I was a teenager. You know, how much I was addicted to eating things that are not supposed to be eaten. And how I used to procure those forbidden items to eat. And how I was proud. I would tell my Hindu friends and, you know, vegetarian friends who would not eat meat. I would make fun of them and challenge them and eat in front of them to tease them. Very horrible. So when I was telling this devotee what activities I have done, this devotee was crying. He started crying. Because this devotee I was telling is a very pure person. He has never even eaten onion garlic in his life. He is born to devotee parents. Very, very simple hearted, very pure person. He's only 24 years old. A gentle soul. And I was telling him about my past. He had tears in his eyes. He was crying. So I have a very horrible past. The astrologer was telling me, you have nothing. You're a horrible person. You have done so much bloodshed. You're so sinful. You don't deserve to be in Krishna consciousness. I asked him, then how come? How come I'm chanting? How come I'm worshipping Shaligram Shilas? How come I'm reading Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavad Gita? How? He looked at my chart. He said, you have nothing. You have no qualification. I don't see anything. You have a horrible astrological chart. Based on astrology, you are a sinful, rascal person. You don't deserve to be in Krishna consciousness. You are in Krishna consciousness simply by the causeless mercy of your spiritual master. Simply by the causeless mercy of your spiritual master. He told me straight. You look at some chart and you can tell that, oh, very nice, very auspicious chart. You have this, you have that. You must have been a devotee in your previous life. But when my chart was nothing, no qualification, no sukrati, you are a rascal. You should be rotting in hell. But you are having access to some bhakti simply by the causeless mercy of your spiritual master. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yakripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam. That is the story of my life. No qualification, very sinful, undeserving. This, my dear friends, is causeless mercy. And who does causeless mercy? Our spiritual masters. Our parampara. It is a parampara of causeless mercy. Narad Muni is doing mercy on the Vyad, the hunter. What is the qualification? Nothing. Therefore, in Padyavali, Rupa Goswami has written this verse. Vyadhasya charanam dhruvasya chavayo Vidya Gajendrasya ka Kubjaya kimu nama rupam adhikam Kim tat sudam no dhanam Vamsha ko vidurasya yadava pate Ukrasya kim paurusham Bhaktya tushyati kevalam nacha gunair Bhakti Priya Madhava Vyadhasya Acharanam. What was the Acha? What was the Sadachar of the Vyad? This Vyad can refer to Valmiki, who was Ratnakar, the hunter. It can refer to Mrigari also. Vyadhasya Acharanam. What was the Sadachar? What was the piety of the Vyad, the hunter? But he still got Krishna. We will see as we read the story further. By the mercy of Narad Muni, this Vyad, this hunter will get Krishna. What is the qualification? What is the Sadachar that qualified him? Nothing. Vyadasya Acharanam. What was the qualification? What was the Sadachar? Nothing. Causeless mercy of a pure devotee, Narad Muni. Both the cases. Ratnakar also became Valmiki by the blessings of Narad Muni. Expert preacher. Mahajan, Narad Muni. And this Mrigari also. Vyad, hunter. He also was elevated. This is our parampara. My dear friends. So question is, why this Vyad? Why this Mrigari? Why this hunter has become so sinful? Two persons, Mrigari and Narad Muni. Narad Muni is pained at seeing the sufferings of the animals. And Mrigari is feeling happy. He is the one who is doing it. He feels nothing. He does it every day. Why is he not feeling guilty? Why has his heart become so sinful, so insensitive? The question may be asked, why are we so sinful? Why are we so lusty? Why can we not give up lust? Why are we like butter and opposite sex is like fire? Why can we not control? Why can we not be like a stone in the presence of fire? Why are we like butter? Why not even, if not stone, why not even wet wood, resistant to fire for some time at least? But no, we are like butter. We just melt when there is a temptation for sense gratification. Okay. Some of you may not be suffering from lust. You might have overcome lust. But why are we spiritually lazy? Why don't we have taste for Krishna Naam, for Krishna Katha? Why can't we do a pratihata bhakti? Anya abhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavratam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhakti ruttam. No, not what is that other verse? Savai pumsa para dharmo yatho bhakti adhokshaje ahaituki apratihata. Why cannot our devotional service be unmotivated and uninterrupted? Atma suprasidati. Why not? Why is our bhakti interrupted only Sunday for Sunday feast? Friday evening we are enjoying. Saturday, shopping, enjoying. Overeating, oversleeping. Why? Why we don't have that taste? Why we have not become pure devotees in spite of so many years? That is the question we have to ask. Because we have very deep-rooted conditionings. We are not able to give up those conditionings. We are not able to become purified. So how did we become so impure? Only we are to be blamed for that. We cannot blame others. So we cannot blame others for our sufferings which come as a result of our sins. And we cannot blame others for our sinful tendencies. They are because of the wrong choices that we made. And this, my dear friends, will be the topic of discussion today. Next half an hour. So let us leave the story of Mrigari and Narad Muni here. It will be continued in the subsequent classes. But from the verses that we read, we saw how sinful and hard-hearted Mrigari the hunter had become. And how soft-hearted Paradukha Dukhi Narad Muni is. And Narad Muni is our acharya. He is our spiritual master. So why this difference between Narad Muni and Mrigari? That we will try to understand. What makes us hard-hearted? Why are we sinful? Why lust? Why we become envious? Why are we envious? Why do we get angry? Why are we greedy? We have to really analyze ourselves, my dear friends. Now see, in our hospital, we get free pens. In the sense, we don't get free pens. When I go to the floor, where I sit on the computer and type my notes, there is a pen stand and there are many pens of that small company. What is it called? BIC, big company. Simple black pens, ball pens. They are kept. A dozen will be kept there. And what I do is, I do my notes and then I print a prescription and I have to sign it. Oh, I forgot a pen. Let me take a pen from the pen stand. I take a pen, I sign it, and I put the pen in my pocket because, well, I don't have to buy, the hospital is providing. But when I was thinking, this is greed, why can I not spend $1? I'm getting such a big paycheck, why can I not spend $1 to buy my own pen? Just go to Costco or Walmart, it's very cheap. Maybe less than $1 also. Why do I have to steal it from the hospital? Just because it is, nobody minds it, you know, everybody uses it. But if we analyze on a subtle level, this is stealing. Those pens are not kept there so that employees will come and take them home. They are meant for hospital use. this, you know, small, small things, that greed is there. Cheating tendency. Hare Krishna, the four defects. They have a tendency to cheat. A rascal. I am rascal. Thief. So if we analyze, we may not have gross defects, at least, you know, in our mind. No, 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 I am a pious person. That's why I accepted the invitation from Preeti Vilasini Mataji to speak Chaitanya Charitamrita class. I am a pious person. I am a nice devotee. I may think like that. But that is simply because of ignorance. Because I am not looking deep enough. I am not looking deep enough in my heart, in my sinful heart. So like that, when we think about this anarthas, lust, anger, greed, we have to analyze our character like this minutely. Then we can see, I am a reservoir of anarthas. Reservoir of anarthas. So, lot of problems. So much envy is there. So much envy. So much difficulty we have when we are ill-treated. But Mahaprabhu said, Amanina Manadina. And this verse is only the key to open the door to love of Godhead. Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Saishana, Amanina Manadina, Kirtanya Sadahari is the key to enter. We have not even entered. But I don't know how many lifetimes it will take for me to become humble like a blade of grass. Not getting agitated when my expectations are not met. It will take, I don't know how many lifetimes, to become tolerant like a tree, tolerating insults, ill treatment, and omanina, not expecting any respect. Feel so good when Kaumudaki Mataji introduces, we are so fortunate today. Adigadhar Prabhu has taken out his precious time and he is going to give us a class. Thank you, Prabhuji. Feels so nice to the egoistic heart. But omanina. We have a rascal today who is going to give class. We are giving him a chance to give class so that he becomes purified. Otherwise, he's engaged in sense gratification because he has to give this class. He will 1 hour sit and think about Guru and Krishna. That's why we have Adigadhar Das who starts speaking. Omanina. But I will feel so insulted if somebody introduces me like that. What? Hare Krishna. Amanina. And Manadena. Even when we are disrespected, to give respect to that person. At least I am light years away. Why? Because we have a sinful heart. We have this burden of sinful conditionings, birth after birth. So how that is, we will try to see. Lot of ground to cover, so I will try to make it brisk. To understand this concept, how we become sinful, and how we find ourselves in an abominable condition, and what is the way out. I do not want this to be a depressing class, my dear friends, by just talking about the problem. We will talk about the solution also. Very sweet and simple and easy solution is there, and there are so many examples of devotees who have taken the solution and made it. They have been successful. Now we celebrate their success. There are celebrities in this world. There are sports celebrities, pop stars who are celebrities, movie stars who are celebrities, politicians who are celebrities, models who look very beautiful, celebrities. But they are not the celebrities that we follow. Hare Krishna. Our celebrities are great devotees in our Vaishnava Sampradaya. Our Gurugan, Srila Prabhupada, his glorious disciples, grand disciples. They are the celebrities. We become excited. Oh, this Maharaj is coming for this Kirtan festival. Oh, this Maharaj is coming for Harikatha. This Prabhu is coming. Give Harikatha. Oh, you know. Why we get excited? We treat these great devotees, sannyasis, big Matajis, Prabhujis, almost like celebrities. Like the world treats Bollywood and Hollywood and sports and political celebrities. We treat our celebrities in ISKCON, our favorite sannyasis, our favorite kathakars, kirtankars. Oh, you know, Vaisheshika Prabhu is coming, yay! Why we go Sadhu Sangha, Satyanandan Maharaj is coming, Indranandan Maharaj is coming. We were so excited. These are our celebrities. Why? Because we celebrate their success in bhakti. Celebrate their success in Krishna consciousness. They are the role models we want to follow. If we follow their path, then we have hope that we can also become like them. Not become like them in stature, but become devotees. Like they are great devotees, we can also advance in Krishna consciousness. So they are our celebrities. They celebrate their success. So that is good. So why? Why we have such difficulties in Krishna consciousness? My dear friends, it is because of our sinful activities. And that we will see from a very beautiful story that goes from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, to Mahabharata. Very beautiful. So we'll try to connect us those two stories. I'll be very brisk because we are running out of time. We have to stop at 12 o'clock and we have 20 minutes. So let's go. Hare Krishna. In the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a story of Maharaj Yayati. Maharaj Yayati was the son of a very great king called Nahush. Nahush Raja, he comes in the Chandra Vamsha. So Brahmaji's son is Atri Muni. Atri Muni had three sons, Durvas Muni, Tatatra, who is incarnation of Lord Vishnu, along with Shivji and Brahmaji. So Dattatraya, Durvas Muni, and the third brother was Soma, who became the ruler of the moon planet. Just like Vivashvan controls the sun planet, Soma, Dev, controls the moon planet. So he is one of the three sons of Atri Muni, who is the son of Brahmaji. So Brahmaji's son Atri, Atri is one of the three sons is Soma, the moon god. And in the Vamsha of Soma, this Nahusha Raja comes, appears in the Soma Vamsha, moon dynasty, lunar dynasty. And Nahush was the ruler of the entire earth planet. He was very, very powerful king. Very well cultured, very well qualified, very strong, very intelligent. Satyayug, the kings were great, and he is directly descending in such a great dynasty as the moon god. So he was ruling earth. He had six sons. Yati, Yayati, Adi. He had like that six sons. And what happened was, Maharaj Nahush, the king of the earth planet, he got an invitation from the rishis and the devatas that please come to Indralok, come to Amravati, the city of Indradev, and become Indra for 1,000 years. Why? Because Indra had just killed Vritrasur. In Satyayug, Indra killed Vritrasur. And Vritrasur was a great devotee. So he got Brahmahatya, the sin of Brahmahatya. So Indra, to do tapa, to do penance, because he had sinned, the sin of killing a Brahman, Vritrasur, Brahmahatya, to purify himself, Indra, for 1,000 years, he went to Mansarovar and sat there in solitude without speaking to anybody, just meditating and doing tapasya without any food, water, nothing. Just solitary meditation, meditating on the Supreme Lord for 1,000 years at Mansarovar to cleanse himself of the sin of killing Vritrasur. So there was no Indra for 1,000 years. So the devatas and the devarshis, the saptarishis, all of them, they sent an invitation to the earth planet that there is this great king, Nahush. You should come and become the king. They sent a special airplane to transport Nahush to the Swargalok. Such was the greatness of Nahush that when there was no Indra for 1,000 years, they chose this man to become the king of heaven, even though he was in a human body like you and me. He was so pure, so qualified, so strong, so educated, so cultured, so advanced spiritually, so qualified, so empowered. So he accepted and he went. And this is a known fact. remember in Bhagavatam also there is a story of Muchukunda, how he had also gone and helped the demigods, the devatas, in their fighting, because he was also a very powerful king, Muchukunda. Maharaj Khatwanga also, he had also helped the demigods. So in those times, sometimes the men, humans would be very powerful, extraordinarily powerful, like that. Even Arjun, he helped the demigods, like that. So this Maharaj Nahush was so powerful that the demigods and the rishis thought he is the best person to become Indra for 1,000 years until the original Indra comes back in this particular Manvantar. So then Maharaj Nahush accepted the invitation, he ascended the airplane and went to rule over the demigods. He became the Indra. But there was no ruler on earth. So he told his son, eldest son, Yati, to become the king. But Yati knew that if I become the king of the earth planet, I will become egoistic, I will forget who I am, I will forget that I am a servant of Krishna, Jivara Swarup hai, Krishna Nityadas, I will forget, I will become egoistic, I will fall down. So he declined and he went to the forest. Then what to do? Nahush Maharaj, he was doing a dual role. He was the Indra in heaven and he was also the king of earth. He was taking care of both the responsibilities. This is how great he was, Nahush. Can you imagine? He was playing the role of Indra, performing all the responsibilities and duties of Indra Dev, protecting the Devatas from the Asuras, and he was the administrator, the king of the earth planet also. Both the roles he was performing very nicely. This is how great Maharaj Nahush was. But then what happened? Because Nahush was given the role of Indra, he had access to everything. He was living in the beautiful city of Amravati. The description is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. What a beautiful city, Amravati. He had access to the best of food, heavenly food. He didn't have to drink ordinary water. Now he was drinking very, very amazing Amrit, which is available in the Swarglok. He was drinking nectar. He had access to all the Apsaras, best food, best facilities. He was living in Indra's palace. He had all the power as well as responsibilities of Indra. So responsibilities he was doing. Now he also had all the power and privileges of being Indra. So much wealth, best of foods. He could sit on Indra's asana, Indra's throne. So Nahush thought, if I have access to Indra's throne, I have access to Indra's wealth, I have access to Indra's palace, I have access to everything that Indra has, all his powers and responsibilities and privileges, then why not have access to Indrani, the wife of Indra, Sachi Devi? Because he had heard how beautiful, exquisitely beautiful she was. So he sent a message to Indrani, the wife of Indra, whose name is Sachi Devi. She is named after the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. It's not the other way. Sachi Mata is not named after Sachi Devi, Indra's wife. It's the other way. The eternal Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his eternal mother, just like Yashoda. Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra. After Sachi Mata, that Sachi Devi is named, the wife of Indra. So Nahush Maharaj, who was acting as Indra, playing the role of Indra, he sent a message to Indra's wife, Indrani, that, see, I am Indra now. For 10,000 years, I am going to be Indra. For 1,000 years, I am going to be Indra. And everything that Indra had belongs to me now for 1,000 years, including you. So you are very beautiful. I am very qualified, very handsome, very young. And I am very much attracted by your beauty. So please come and meet me in my bedroom. Let us enjoy together. I want you to serve me in solitude. So now this Indrani was a Pativrata lady, very well qualified, very cultured lady. And this was unacceptable for her. She started crying when she received this message from Maharaj Nahush. And she told her friends that this is what Maharaj Nahush is wanting. He wants to enjoy with me. This is so horrible. I am already married to Indradev. I cannot think of any other man. This is against all religion. This is highly irreligious. Oh, you see, this is exactly like that Vali taking Tara, the wife of Sugriv, forcefully. What were the two names? Tara and I'm forgetting the two.
Roma.
Names. I think. Roma. Roma. Thank you, Mataji. So like that, just like Vali forcefully took the wife of Sugriv because Sugriv was not there, and he enjoyed. Similarly, this Nahush, he said, "I want to enjoy with Indrani because I am the Indra now, temporary Indra." But Indrani is not some commodity. She is not some throne or some vehicle that you just use. She is a lady, a celestial lady who is married to Indradev. She has taken a vow that entire life I will serve you and no other man. She is Pativrata, like everyone should be. So she was in great dilemma, in great, very difficult situation. So the question is, what does one do when one is in a very difficult situation? There is only one answer. One takes shelter of one spiritual master. Because see, we cannot approach God, we cannot approach Krishna directly, we are so fallen. So when we are in trouble, we always take shelter of a spiritual master. So why should we call Hare Krishna when we are in trouble? Because spiritual master has ordered us. When you are in trouble, take shelter of Krishna. So on the orders of spiritual master, we take shelter of Krishna. So when Indrani was in such a big dharma sankat that the king, the acting Indra, wants to enjoy with me, so I cannot technically refuse him. But morally, ethically, I don't want to break my chastity. So she was crying. She was in a very difficult situation. She went to Brihaspati, her spiritual master. And she told Brihaspati what happened. So Brihaspati thought about it for a while. And then he told Indrani that, "Don't worry, my dear daughter, my dear child, don't worry. You accept the proposal of Maharaj Nahush. But you tell him that don't come to me in a palanquin carried by ordinary servants. You are Indra, Maharaj Nahush. You are the acting Indra now. So you come to meet me in my palace. I am embarrassed to come to you. So I will not come to you, but you can come to me. You can come to my palace. You can come to me, but come to me carried on a palanquin. That is carried not by ordinary servants, but by the seven sages, the Saptarshi, the seven great sages. They should carry your palanquin and bring you to me. Then you can come and meet me." So when Maharaj Nahush received this message from Indrani, he immediately accepted. What is the difficulty? I am the king of everyone. Anyway, what are the Saptarshis doing? For ages, they are just sitting and eating and becoming fat, not doing any work. They just chant some mantras and they eat and eat and eat all day. Foodstuffs cooked in ghee. They have become fat. And I am providing everything. So, they should work for me. So, he sent a message to the Saptarshis. And, "Oh, seven rishis, enough of relaxing and being lazy. Now, come on. You have to carry my palanquin. You have to carry my palanquin and take me to Indrani." Now, the rishis understood that this is a breach of etiquette. This is very bad what he is doing. Because the rishis, they are supposed to be worshipped. And the rishis give spiritual knowledge to Indra. They are the spiritual guides of Indra. Even Manu, they guide Manu. These Saptarshis, they are so great. How can you ask them to carry palanquin? And for what? Because Maharaj Nahush wants to go and enjoy sense gratification with the wife of another man? For such a lowly, wretched, evil purpose, he wants the Saptarshis to carry him to fulfill his evil desires? Horrible. But still, Indra, he's the acting Indra, so what to do? The Saptarshis agreed. They came, they picked up the palanquin, and Maharaj Nahush was sitting. And he told them, "Now come on, take me to Indrani. Take me to her palace. That beautiful lady with a fair complexion and a narrow waist and shapely limbs is waiting in the bedroom for me. Take me straight to her bedroom. And the Saptarshis, so on the palanquin there were two logs on each side, right and left. On one side, four rishis carried. On the other side, three rishis were carrying. And they were carrying. And Maharaj Nahush was filled with anticipation to enjoy with Indrani. He could not wait. He was in a great hurry. He got dressed very nicely, put all sorts of perfumes. And immediately he wanted to be taken swiftly to Indrani without any delay. But these rishis, they were carrying him very slowly. And Nahush started criticizing them. You Saptarshis, you just eat, do no work. You have never even carried 1 kilo weight. And now you are having to carry me. You are so weak and lazy. You have just become fat by eating foods made in ghee. Come on, your king is ordering you. I am ordering you. Carry faster, faster. Sarpa, sarpa. In Sanskrit, sarpa means sarko. Come on, move, move, move it fast. He was saying, sarpa, sarpa, sarpa. And these Saptarshis were trying, but you know, they were not used to doing this. This is not their job. First time they were carrying some palanquin. So they were being slow. And this Maharaj Nahush became so restless, became so impatient, that he kicked Agastya Rishi, who was carrying the palanquin close to his feet. He kicked Agastya Rishi and said, sarpa, sarpa, come on, come on, hurry up. So Nahush Maharaj had the audacity to kick Agastya Rishi as he was carrying the palanquin. At this point, Agastya Rishi told the other six sages, please stop. Stop, stop. Put the palanquin down. Then the Saptarshis put the palanquin down. Now Nahush Maharaj was getting scared. And Agastya Rishi, with his fierce eyes, looked at Nahush Maharaj. Imagine, Agastya Rishi is a very powerful sage. He is the one who gave Lord Ramchandra the weapon to kill Ravan. Aditya Hridaya. Very powerful sage. Now he looked at Nahush Maharaj with piercing glance. Nahush Maharaj got scared. He immediately stood up. And Agastya Rishi started chastising Nahush Maharaj. He said, you rascal. You are in a lowly human body that excretes stool and urine and sweat. We sent an airplane to you on the earth planet. And we promoted you temporarily to the post of Indra. We gave you all the facilities. We made you what you are. And you rascal, you have the audacity to order us to carry your palanquin just so that you can satisfy your genitals in an illicit way. And you have the audacity to yell and scream at us to go faster so you can satisfy your illicit senses quicker. And you have the audacity to kick me. You rascal, this is the example you are setting in the post of Indra. Sarpa, sarpa, sarpa. The other meaning of the word sarpa is snake. Immediately become a snake and fall down back from where you came to the earthly planet, but not as a king, not as King Nahush that you were. You become a Ajgar. You become a snake, a python. And immediately his legs, Nahush Maharaj's legs, started transforming into that of a python. Only his face was remaining as a human. And that was also transforming into the face of a python. And then he was going to fall down on earth. And when Nahush Maharaj saw his beautiful, powerful body, youthful, young body, getting transformed into a body without limbs, and he will have to crawl on earth, Bhujanga, he will have to crawl on the earth as a snake without limbs. He was very proud of his beautiful, powerful limbs. Now no limbs, he has to crawl on earth in a snake's body, in the body of a python. Very ugly, bright yellow python with black spots, the Mahabharata describes. As his body was transforming into that of a python, Maharaj Nahush understood what a grave, horrible mistake he had committed. First of all, he should have been grateful that he has been promoted from an earthly king to heavenly king Indra, Indra's position. And he's not being discriminated against. He's been given the same facilities as Indra. He's getting the same palace, lives in Amravati, drinks nectar, eats the finest foods. He should have been more than satisfied and grateful. But instead of that, he started eyeing the beautiful wife of Indradev, the wife of another man. How sinful. Not only that, he wanted to enjoy with her. Not only that, he proposed. Not only that, he told the sages to carry him for such a wicked and evil task. And he is criticizing, yelling at them and kicking them. What have I done? Nahush immediately realized what a great mistake he had committed. Because he was very cultured and educated. So this is what happens when we are overcome by our anarthas, whether it is lust or whether it is anger, a fit of anger, or it is envy, or we become proud and arrogant of our achievements, or we are greedy. Whatever it is, whatever the anartha is, when we are under the influence of anarthas, it is like an intoxication. Under the influence. DUI, driving under influence. When we are under the influence of these anarthas, pramatta, we are mad. We become mad. It's an intoxication. An intoxicated person who is under the influence of alcohol or drugs can do anything. I see so many patients, they come with chest pain. Why? Because they have snorted or they have shot cocaine. Cocaine causes the blood vessels in the heart to narrow down and they get like a heart attack because of the cocaine. So many times I see, they come with chest pain, cocaine. We check a urine drug screen, positive for cocaine. So these patients under the influence of cocaine, they do all sorts of crazy things. They can attack, they can talk nonsense. Similarly, people under the influence of alcohol, intoxicated people, they can talk nonsense. Similarly, when we are under the influence of lust, anger, envy, etc., we are also behaving like mad people. We do things which otherwise a sane person would never do. Look at Mrigari. Just to satisfy his greed for sustenance, he is using such a bad way to make his ends meet, to put food on the table. Such a wicked, evil, sinful, sadistic way. So this is what happens when we are overcome by anarthas. Therefore, dharma stands on four pillars and compassion is one of them. We have to be compassionate to others. We have to think of others. We cannot be kicking Agastya Rishi. We cannot be ordering the Saptarshis to carry our palanquin. We cannot be eyeing the wife of another man. Nahush Maharaj realized his grave mistake and he started crying. Here is a great king. And in front of everyone he is crying. Just realizing that I am helpless now. I am going to be in some godforsaken forest as a python. What a horrible life. No clothes, no palace. I'll be living in some hole in the earth. No family, no friends. Pythons don't have family and friends. They live alone, solitary animals. He started crying, thinking about his gloomy future. And Agastya Rishi immediately became pacified, seeing the tears of Nahush Maharaj. And Nahush Maharaj begging for forgiveness. Sorry, I became mad. I was under the influence of lust and arrogance and my wealth and power and position. I thought everything is meant for my enjoyment. I'm sorry. I should not have done this. You know, I was used to earthly pleasures, but when I came to the heavenly planets as Indra, acting Indra, I got carried away by the extravagant sense gratification that is available here. I'm sorry. Started begging. And immediately Agastya Muni got pacified. I was listening to a lecture of Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj from Vrindavan, Prabhupada disciple. He was explaining that this is the nature of a sadhu. Even if a sadhu gets angry, the anger only lasts for a few moments. Agastya Rishi became angry when Nahush Maharaj kicked him. And he cursed him immediately in that anger. But the anger of a sadhu lasts very short while, just few seconds. Seeing that there is a transformation in the attitude of Maharaj Nahush, Agastya Muni immediately became pacified. said, all right, you will become a python, but when you have a conversation about dharma with a great devotee, Dharmaraj Yudhishthir, then you will be liberated from this python body. Then you will be liberated. And blessing him like this, this Maharaj Nahush, he fell down on the earth planet as a huge python. He was as big as a hill. When he would coil up, he was as big as a hill. And he fell down somewhere in the forest. And this was Satyayuga. Many, 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 many years passed by. Satyayuga got over, then Treta Yuga came, then Dwapar Yuga came, and at the end of Dwapar Yuga, the Pandavas, they were in forest, in exile. And one day Bhim was enjoying in the forest, running here and there, exploring the forest, as Yudhishthir, Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev and Draupadi were living in their hut, in their ashram. Bhim decided to go and explore the forest. As he was going, he came across this python. And immediately, this python, who was Maharaj Nahush, he grabbed Bhim. And Bhim was not scared of any python or elephant or tiger or lion. But as soon as Nahush caught him, Bhim lost all his strength. Because when Nahush Maharaj was falling down as a python, he asked Agastya Muni, I will become a python, what will I eat? So Agastya Muni said, I will make arrangements for your sustenance. In the sixth prahar of the day, there are eight divisions in the day. In the sixth division, which is in the evening time, anybody who comes in your grip, you catch them, they will not be able to escape. They will lose all their strength and they will be available to you as your food. In this way, this python was living in the forest for so many centuries, hundreds and hundreds of centuries. And now as soon as he caught Bhim, by the benediction of Agastya Muni, Bhim lost all his strength. He became helpless. That Bhim who could just kick so many elephants away, now a simple python had overpowered him. Now in the ashram down the mountain, Yudhishthira Maharaj started seeing evil omens, inauspicious omens. So he told Arjun that you guard Draupadi. He told Nakul and Sahadev, you guard all the Brahmins who are under our protection in the forest. And I will go and investigate what happened to Bhim. I am experiencing inauspicious omens. There is some trouble. And their spiritual master, Dhaumya Rishi, he said, I will come with you, Yudhishthir. So Dhaumya and Yudhishthir, they went up the mountain looking for Bhim, following his footprints. He had broken trees on his way. He had killed some tigers who had dared to attack him. So following the trail left behind by Bhim, they went and finally they came to the mouth of a cave. And outside the cave, they saw this huge serpent who looked like a hill. And in his coils was Bhim, almost lifeless, completely helpless. Yudhishthira Maharaj was surprised to see that a python had overpowered his mighty brother, Bhim. So he asked Bhim, O Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, what happened? How did this python overpower you? Bhim said, I don't know, my dear brother. I came in front of him, face to face. He immediately grabbed me, and it is as if I have lost all my power. Yudhishthira Maharaj understood this cannot be an ordinary snake. So he asked the python, O python, who are you? And why have you caught my brother? The python said, I am just a python, and I am allowed to eat what I can catch. I have caught your brother. It is my rightful food, natural food for me. I am going to eat him. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was so wonderful. He said, listen, my dear python, please let my brother go. Please release him. I will bring an elephant for you. You are used to eating wild animals, not human beings. The natural food for a python is wild animals. I will bring you the biggest wild animal you want to eat. I will bring you an elephant or a lion or a tiger or a deer. Whatever you want, I will bring for you. I will kill them with one straight arrow and then you eat. No problem. But leave my brother. Let my brother go. The python said, why should I take scraps from you? Why should I take what you are giving me in charity? I don't need your charity. I will eat what I have caught. Your brother, I have caught with my own strength. So I don't want charity from you. Go away. Let me eat Bhim. Actually, Maharaj Nahush knew the benediction of Agastya, and he knew today was the day. He has come face to face with Dharmaraj. But he was just, he was pretending that he wants to eat Bhim, so that Yudhishthir will agree to his demand. And what is the demand? That we'll see. So Yudhishthir Maharaj said, okay, if you don't want to release Bhim and you are bent on eating him, then eat me. Because I have taken birth from the same womb as Bhim. We are both Kunti Putras. So we are Saudar. So leave Bhim and instead you eat me. Because Bhim is required for a great war which is going to take place. He is going to kill the 100 sons of the evil Dhritarashtra. I cannot do that. So Bhim has to live. We have to take revenge for the insults of Draupadi. So please don't eat Bhim. He is very valuable. I am useless. You eat me. My dear friends, just see the humility of Yudhishthir Maharaj. He is saying, eat me. Let Bhim go. And Bhim is in tears, seeing the love that his brother has for him. So is Dhaumya, Rishi. And hearing these words, very righteous, very exalted words of Yudhishthir Maharaj, and Nahush king, he relents. He says, all right, I will release your brother if you answer the questions that I have to ask you. And you also have to ask me some questions. We have to engage in a samvad, in a dharma samvad. So he says, why? Why do we have to engage? Then he says, Nahush, the python says, that actually I am your ancestor. Because in the dynasty of Soma, Yayati was there, Pururava was there, all these kings were there. Then Bharat Maharaj came in the same Chandravamsha dynasty. And the descendants of Bharat are the sons of Kunti. Therefore, a lot of times in Bhagavad Gita, Arjun is addressed as Bharata, the descendant of Bharat Maharaj. So Arjun also was in the same dynasty as Chandra. So Nahush Maharaj was technically an ancestor of the Pandavas. So he told Yudhishthira Maharaj, I am actually your ancestor. My name is Nahush. Nahush! Yudhishthira Maharaj said, yes, I have heard your name many times. You are a great king. You ruled the whole earth planet. You were very charitable, very righteous, very educated, very qualified, very powerful. You were even promoted as Indra on a temporary basis for 1,000 years. I know. But then what happened to you? You went to Swargalok and somehow we got news that you became a python. Nahush says, yes, I am that python. I became a python. And the only way I can get out of this python body is if I engage in a conversation with you, with someone who is Dharmaraj, who knows the supreme absolute truth. So there was a very beautiful conversation. I actually got those questions and answers that took place, but we have run out of time. So Nahush Maharaj, as a python, he asked questions to Yudhishthir Maharaj, and Yudhishthir Maharaj gives very beautiful answer. And then Yudhishthir Maharaj asks questions, and Nahush also gives very beautiful answer. Just, I'll deal with one or two questions. So one question that the python asked Yudhishthir Maharaj is, who is a Brahmin? So Yudhishthir Maharaj gives a very perfect answer. He says, Brahmin is by activities, not by birth. Anybody who has the qualities of cleanliness, religiousness, austerity, tolerance, humility, and knowledge of the Vedas, such a person is to be considered Brahmin, not someone who is just born to a Brahmin person. So Nahush becomes very happy. He says, yes, that is the right answer. So then Nahush says, but these qualities that you mentioned, sometimes they are found in Shudras also. They are sometimes found in Vaishyas also, sometimes found in Kshatriyas also. So how do you explain that? So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, if these qualities are found in someone who is a Shudra or Vaishya or Kshatriya, then he should be considered a Brahmin. Because Brahmin is known not by birth or family dynasty. A Brahmin is known only by qualities and actions. Then Nahush is very, very happy. This is in line with Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvarna maya shrishtam guna karma vibhagasha. Then Nahush says, what is envy? So Yudhishthira Maharaj says, feeling discomfort or unhappy at the success of others is envy. And then the python asks, how do you overcome envy? And Yudhishthira Maharaj says, you can overcome envy by becoming Parabrahma Parayan, by becoming devoted to Parambrahma. And Parambrahma is Krishna. So basically, Krishna consciousness is the answer to overcome envy. Because if we are completely devoted to Krishna, then we'll see everyone as parts and parcels of Krishna, and then we'll give up our envy. Then, in this way, the very beautiful conversation takes place between Nahush and Yudhishthir Maharaj. And then Nahush says that, my dear Yudhishthir, I am your ancestor, and I'm going to release your brother now. And as soon as I release him, I will be liberated from the snake body. And I bless you, before I depart, I bless you that all you brothers, you will be victorious in the war, in the Dharma Yuddha. And as this python is talking with Yudhishthira Maharaj, a divine celestial aeroplane comes. And his snake body becomes, the python body becomes dead, and he attains the body of Nahush Maharaj. And he ascends that airplane and goes back to the heavenly planets. So this very beautiful, pastime took place. And then, of course, Bhim, Yudhishthir and Dhaumya Rishi, they come back. They come back to the hermitage at the foothills of the mountain. But this very beautiful story shows how we are in a sinful existence. A snake is considered to be very envious, a very low birth. It is said that Prabhupada used to quote that even the sages rejoice when a snake or scorpion dies. So this very beautiful story shows us how we become sinful, how this sinful heart develops. It is because of our previous wrong choices. How Nahush made wrong choices, and as a result of his wrong choices, he was cursed to become an envious and lowly snake. So if we find ourselves in a deplorable condition today, it is because of our sinful activities in the past. And what is the solution? The solution is to hear from a Mahabhagavat. Just like Nahush Maharaj heard from Yudhishthir about Parabrahma, about Krishna consciousness, he became liberated. So similarly, the only way to purify ourselves is to hear Hari Katha, to hear Hari Kirtan from pure devotees, like Yudhishthir Maharaj, pure devotees. So we must chant the holy names of Krishna, and we must hear the holy name of Krishna from our Guru Gan, and hear Hari Katha from our Guru Gan. Once this holy name and Krishna Katha enters our heart, then all our illusions are slowly dispelled. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata seva. This Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita Bhagavad Gita should be studied every day. Every day. From advanced devotees. And that is the way to achieving our constitutional position as Jivara Swarupaya Krishna Ranityadas. These are some of the thoughts I wanted to share with all of you. Thank you very much for this opportunity. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami ki jai. All glories to all of you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anyone has any comment or question, we can spend a couple of minutes.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Mataji.
Oh, I wasn't sure if you could hear me. Thank you so much. I've got that wonderful class. I came on right when you said we're going to discuss why we are, what was it you said? Why is our devotional service not progressing? You didn't say not progressing, you said something stagnant, and that's when I came on, because that's where I am. And I was thinking, oh my God, this class is just for me. You know, a couple thoughts came to my mind as you were narrating the story, and one was how far he fell, you know. So what is it they say, the higher you are, the harder you fall? Well, he fell very, Nahush Maharaj fell very, very far down from where he was. So just thinking that it's you always have to be on your guard, it seems to me. And I remember my Guru Maharaj explaining that don't think that just because you're initiated, you've made it. That's just the beginning. So, you know, this just, it brings that to mind to me, that we have to continually be striving and not become complacent and think we've made it. That's one thing. And the story of when you were speaking of Yudhishthira Maharaj and when he went to go find the beam, the king went. And, you know, what example of the character of those in charge in that time. King, you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj, I mean, he was in the forest, but he was still the king. He was still the elder brother. And yet he was the one that went to go find out what was happening. And did he just leave? No, he did something very important. He made sure the women and the sages were protected, and that was the instructions he had given his brothers. And I don't know, everything was such an example. Everything was so beautiful. And yes, thank you for saying that. Listening to the stories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the mouths of the pure devotees is the key. I'm reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, the fourth canto, and I was just going through, it was the Prudhu Maharaj, the story of Prudhu Maharaj, and chapter 20, 21, 22, continuously, when the Supreme Lord is instructing Prudhu Maharaj, when Prudhu Maharaj is instructing his citizens, and when the four Kumaras are instructing Prudhu Maharaj, you know, and the question was, what is most beneficial? And continuously, all three chapters, the main theme is, listen to the stories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the knot of desire, the knot will be cut in your heart. You will, what is it, detach from material sense gratification and attach to the lotus feet of the Lord. So wonderful for me. Everything just came together for me today. Thank you so much, and every day. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Phaneshwari Lakshmi Mataji. That is such a wonderful wonderful points you made, and underlined and stressed very key points. Thank you so much for that very nice comment. Very, very grateful to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class, and especially everything this beautiful pastime. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the ninth canto, in one of the verse translations, I'll just read out, Prabhupada says that because Nahusha, the father of Yayati, molested Indra's wife Sati, who then complained to Agastya and other Brahmanas, then these saintly Brahmanas cursed Nahusha to fall from the heavenly planet and be degraded to the status of a python. And then consequently, Yayati became the king. So, is there, you know, this particular pastime, you know, has been mentioned in various places? Because, you know, there was quite a difference that I could find out that, you know, why and how these things happened. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Are you
Hare Krishna. Yeah, no, so there is no, it's not different, there is no contradiction. You see, Maharaj Nahush, he molested, as Prabhupada writes, he molested Indrani. And that is true, he molested her mentally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just asking her to come and meet him in his bedroom, that itself is psychological molestation. So what Prabhupada is writing is true. And then she complained.
She went and complained to...
She complained to Brihaspati. And Brihaspati, obviously, you know, he discussed with the Saptarshis. And it was a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, okay, you accept the proposal, but ask the Saptarshis.
Mm-hmm.
Should carry.
Mm-hmm.
So the Saptarshis were already determined to teach Nahusha a good lesson. So that's the whole arrangement of Brihaspati. And Brihaspati, of course, in collaboration with Agastya Muni, they planned together. So through Brihaspati, the complaint of Indrani came to Agastya Muni. So all these rishis headed by Brihaspati, Agastya, they were angry at Nahush. What kind of behavior it is. So they did this path. That's why Brihaspati very cleverly told Indrani that yes, you accept it, but ask him to come on a palanquin carried by the Saptarshis. So obviously he had told the Saptarshis, you know, what the thing is, and the Saptarshis took care of it. They punished him nicely. So sometimes when you read between Mahabharat and Bhagavatam, the same pastimes can appear a little different. But if we see the underlying philosophy and the purpose behind them, then we can reconcile. We can reconcile. So he molested psychologically Indrani, and through Brihaspati he complained to Agastya like that.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. So the story, the pastime that you narrated is the whole pastime is not mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, right?
It is there in Mahabharata.
It's there in Mahabharata. That's okay. And another thing, Prabhu, I just want to ask you that is there, like, since the time was short, so you skipped the question and answer session between the pastime and Maharaj Yudhishthir? Is there any way that we can get it, so at least we can go through that question?
Yes, certainly, certainly. There are some very interesting points that are mentioned in that conversation. It's around with the Sanskrit and the Hindi translation in the Gita Press edition of Mahabharata. It's around 4 pages, that conversation. So it can definitely be one class, and we can do that.
Okay.
In the future, if time permits.
Yes.
Thank you, Mataji. Is this Kirtida Sundari, Mataji?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Okay. I just wanted to make sure the voice is so feeble. So thank you, Mataji. Thank you for your nice questions. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much as always. Very beautiful narration with lots to learn from the story of Nahusha. Thank you so much for narrating it so beautifully. And every time we hear these stories, I mean, I always tell myself that there is so much, I just shouldn't be hearing it as a story. Rather, I just have to learn that I will be in that position as well someday. And I should learn how to react at such times. So thank you so much. This was a very enlightening class, as always, when you do Harikatha, you make it very, not just interesting, but also you open up our eyes to reality. So thank you for that so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prithivilasini Mataji. I think Faneshwari Lakshmi Mataji made the underlined certain points. They were very good. She stressed some points. I really like them. So very good. Thank you, Mataji. Very nice to be in association of all of you. Dasosmi. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for very enlightening class today. And we are very grateful to you. We look forward to your association again in future. If anybody has any question, we can end the call now. Here.
Yes, Mataji. Adi Kadadar Prabhu Koti Koti Dindrat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada Srila Vrajaya Kiti. Thank you very much for your deep, deep, deep personal association. Prabhuji, we are very upset that in a Radhanath Maharaj meeting, you cry like a small kid, Prabhu. Because there is so many Bhakti Bhiksha counselor, but there is no coordination between all of the counselor and its secret to our temple. So Prabhuji, I am very small Vaishnavi, like ant legs. But as a mother, Prabhuji, I want to inform you that how much difficulty passed Radhanath Maharaj. Think, Prabhuji, 7 years, crush the ice and then take a bath. And even the brahmacharis working with them are not coordinate. How much Srila Prabhupada passed to give a Krishna consciousness? How much Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Bhaktidit Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, Niranjan Maharaj, Jai Pataka Maharaj passed from so hard time? You are so pure Vaishnava. I know you get up 4:30 and complete your japa in the morning. That gives you a strength to serve Vaishnava. That is special mercy of Srila Prabhupada Chirgurudev. And yes, Prabhu, I have seen my daughter working 12 hours. It is really very hard to see the pain. Patients are passing so much pain. And in that situation, hardly you get the lunch break 2 hours. And in that 2 hours, you give it to us. So Prabhuji, salute to your work. Salute to your hard work. Even Friday, Monday to Friday, working 12 hours, and Saturday, Sunday, Bhagavad Gita class, and Bhagavatam class, and again Sunday, temple class. It is Prabhuji, by mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev, one can do it, and you put it your best efforts that we become a sincere in bhakti. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. That was Pranam Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your assistance, Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. My humble obeisances to you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for your blessings, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Can you hear me?
Hare Krishna. Yes, this is Gaurangi Mataji.
Yes. My phone died just now, so I don't know if you were trying to end the class, but I did have a question or two. Is there still time?
Mataji, it is 12:30, and unfortunately,
okay.
I have to go to the hospital.
Yes,
sorry.
No problem.
I'm working
no
today, otherwise I would have
no problem, Prabhu. No, thank you so much for your class.
That's awesome. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We can end the class now.
Vanshaka,
Kripa Sindhu, Devaja, Patitanam, Pavanejo, Vaishnavibhu, Namo Nama. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, His Grace Adi Gadadhar Das Prabhu ki jai. Thank you very much.
Thank
you very
much. Thank you everyone. Hare Krishna.